I'm Pascal Philippi and you're listening to CGIU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. With Benjamin Moretz, we decided to explore how newcomers in Toronto experiencing the pandemic and reach out to some of them to tell us their stories. This is episode 2 of our series on newcomers navigating the pandemic. Marushka.
My name is Marushka Loshki Nair. I moved here from Dubai in March 2020. I'm originally from Bombay, India, and I've been now in Canada for almost a year in March. I've had a very international exposure to life, and I never really wanted to settle down in India. My mom's Catholic, my dad's Hindu, but the three of us were raised Catholic. And in India, Christianity is like a minority of just like 2%. With the country being predominantly Hindu, if I am going to be like the black sheep in a country that doesn't accept me for who I am, then I really don't feel like I fit or like I belong. So I always wanted to move to the West. Back in 2017, I decided to apply for my Canadian PR. So I decided to give it a shot and well, I think it worked out.
My name's Cassandra Fultz, and I'm the managing partner of Doherty Fultz Immigration. Permanent residence status is a status somewhere between Canadian citizen and temporary resident, which means you can remain in Canada indefinitely, but you don't have all of the rights of Canadian citizen. You're not allowed to vote, you're not allowed to hold political office, and you're not allowed to hold certain jobs which require a certain security clearance. But other than that, you're very nearly there.
I work for PwC, and this is a job I basically, like the company I've been working for the past 5 years since grad school. It's essentially one of the big fours that, you know, specialize in consulting and audit. I usually focus on the financial service clients, and I work for like banking and wealth management companies. I started the process in 2017. When I moved to Dubai mid 2018 is when my confirmation for my PR came through. So that was a good 1 year that I waited to, you know, for my documentation to get processed and for me to actually get that confirmation. So I figured I have to move to Ontario, and Express Entry was a thing for me. Now, I was fortunate because I had a master's degree already, and like I had about a year and a half of work experience. Since I met the criteria for everything, so I decided to, you know, ask for a transfer within PwC itself to move here in March 2020.
Express Entry is the federal economic immigration system. So there's three streams under Express Entry. There's Canadian Experience Class, which is for workers who have actual work experience from Canada because they've already been here as a worker. There is the federal skilled worker stream, which is for people who are skilled workers, but their work experience is either foreign entirely or it's a combination of foreign work experience and Canadian work experience. And then there's federal skilled trades, which is akin to federal skilled worker, but it's specifically for people with work experience who are tradesmen. With applications through Express Entry, most of them, the majority, like 80%, are done within 6 months of the time that that the application for PR is submitted. But after COVID, since March 2020, for sure it's going to take that whole year. And I wouldn't be surprised if it takes even longer. Processing times have just gone through the roof for everything. Permanent residence, work permit, study permit, visitor, everything has been impacted.
On my first day here, I mean, I was jet lagged, of course, but it wasn't essentially locked down yet. This was during the St. Paddy's Day weekend, but it definitely felt like ghost town when I was in an Uber arriving from the airport to my lodge. I started looking out to get a place to rent, and I started talking to brokers and realtors, and all of them asked me for credit scores. And I was like, hey, I mean, I'm not from North America. We don't do credit scores back home. So like, what do you want me to do? I'm a new immigrant here. And then what they told me is that I'd have to get someone to stand as a guarantor for me, which is essentially means that I would need to get that person's pay slip, the letter of employment, and like the NOAs and tax returns. And that's all very confidential and private information. You can't just be asking people for that, especially since I didn't have family or friends here. So I didn't really know who to turn to. And then the other option was that I'd have to pay, you know, 6 to 7 months upfront rent. And I was like, I can't afford that. Like, I just moved here. I found a place downtown, and that's when I decided to reach out to the landlord. Obviously, he asked me for my credit report, but I didn't have that. But he was willing to, you know, be flexible. So I just had to provide him with my letter of employment. I gave him like my manager's contact details. He did a reference background check. And then I served him with, you know, post-dated checks, and I was good to go. You know, when you're going through all of this by yourself, you just want some like emotional support. And my emotional support is on the other side of the world. It's not like my parents could just get on a flight to me and, you know, help me out. I had to figure out everything by myself.
Opening your bank account and finding a place to live and things like that are much more difficult under the pandemic, because before, again, you make your appointment, you show up, you're done. But now you can't just go see an apartment. You can't just go see a house. It's not possible. So people are finding themselves sort of in this limbo of being unable to, you know, fulfill what they came here to fulfill. They have their confirmation of PR and their record of landing. They are a permanent resident. They don't have to leave, but where do they go?
So I moved here March 14, 2020, which was a Saturday. Monday was when I was supposed to start work. So March 16, I go into the office. I essentially just got to meet two members of the team. Because no one was there. Everyone was really scared of, you know, they started to work from home. When I went there, my manager kind of, you know, took me to the cafeteria, the pantry, to just kind of get me acquainted with the place. That was obviously pointless thinking about it now. And then she told me to go home because there was nothing for me to do. And then the next day, we get an email from our CEO saying that we all had to work from home. And that's when I've been working from home essentially since March 17, 2020. It was really brutal at first because, to be honest, the first 4 months while I was technically employed by PwC, I wasn't really engaged or working on a project. I would keep reaching out and asking for work, but because it was very hard for people to be able to figure out, you know, what projects to book their employees and resources on. So for the first 3 to 4 months, I wasn't really doing anything. I was just sitting at home, and like, I there was nothing for me to do. So we were on lockdown. I was very, very anxious about, you know, keeping my job. I just signed a lease agreement with my landlord for this place, and I wouldn't be able to afford the rent. They were laying off people. I read online what my rights are, and I wouldn't even be eligible for CERB because I had just moved to the country. Our company even asked us, you know, for voluntary reduction in hours for work. And I was willing to do that as long as, you know, I could keep my job. It was just very nerve-wracking for me.
Being able to find a job, that's another huge one. When you come here, you are starting from the bottom. So it's even more difficult now because it's just difficult for immigrants to get jobs when compared with natural-born Canadian citizens, especially if you're a visible minority. So many people who are doctors and lawyers in their home country and who are like, you know, driving taxi. Of course, not that there's anything wrong with driving taxi, but that's probably not what they had planned. I think that the government has done what it can in terms of employment insurance and financial aid for people. But I definitely think there's just a sort of an empty box where, you know, mental health is concerned, where community is concerned, because that's one of the hardest parts about being an immigrant anyway, is finding your place in your new community. And now there's not even a community to find a place in. So
when I say I made friends, I definitely did not make friends with my office colleagues, because I haven't met them. You know, in order to forge a relationship or a bond of any kind, you need to meet someone in person. I think I'm just also a very social person. So like for me, having to be in this lockdown and like not get that social interaction or human interaction, it was a bummer for me. And I was really gutted, but I was like, you know, I can't live like this. I didn't move to this country to be living by myself and not being able to talk to people. I moved to this country for more exposure. And the way you get more exposure is by interacting with people. There is this app called Bumble. And I know a lot of people would probably think Bumble is for dating, but it's really not. Bumble has other avenues as well apart from dating. So you can use it for a friend or like a BFF search. I wasn't too sure how people would react. And I was a little skeptical, thinking like maybe the girls on there would probably think I'm a dude, like pretending to be a girl, just so that I would get them to meet me. But I spoke to a few of the girls. They would all say, you know, like, oh yeah, we should catch up once the lockdown's lifted. But like, it never came, right? So I just decided to form a WhatsApp group. And all the girls I spoke to on there, I was like, do you want to be a part of this? And they were all very keen on it. So I added them all to the WhatsApp group. And when we weren't in a lockdown, like the second lockdown, we would spend every weekend together. We spend birthdays together. We spend holidays together. That's kind of how I formed my big friend circle now. And I don't think it's very tragic at this point, because if you decide to take action and, you know, work on it, you'll be fine, COVID or not.
I try to stay positive. That's the thing. You got to try to stay positive. So what I hope is that the pandemic gets under control and that people are allowed to, you know, exist in some sort of normal fashion, more like what we were used to before the pandemic, and that will give the economic opportunity back, not only to Canadians and to immigrants who are already here, but to the people who have yet to arrive.
It's such a weird time to be even thinking about what the future looks like, because we don't know what this vaccine is going to do. I don't think we're going to be living a normal life anytime soon. I'm curious to know what life was like before the pandemic hit, because I moved here during the pandemic, so I really don't know. But I would think maybe, you know, by mid to late 2022, it might start to get normal. So I'm quite optimistic about that, and I can't wait to see what it's like. But for now, like, I'm not holding my breath. I'm just gonna live each day as it comes.
You've been listening to CGIU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Canadian Radio Fund of Canada.